Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Two words are repeated here twice. The word supply, seed. Notice where words, it's "now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food." This is about your provision. God gives us seed to sow so that we can have provisions. But the second supply of seed, it says, is also supplying you to increase your store of seed that will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God does not just want to provide for our provisions. He wants to increase and enlarge our provisions. And there's a reason for that. We find that in the second verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Notice where it says the goal of why God wants to increase and expand and enlarge you is so that you will be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can be generous. He wants you enriched for the reason that he wants you to be generous on every occasion. And through that generosity, it will result in thanksgiving to God. Generosity is part of the plan of God for your life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." Notice, whoever, if you are generous to the poor, you're actually lending to God. You're actually, God is borrowing from you. That's what it means. And he says he will repay you for his deed. A person who lends to somebody is a banker. It's an interesting thought that God's banker is you. I've entitled this message, God's Private Banker. A banker does not own the money. The money is entrusted to him by the people who entrust it to him, his customers. He does it and he pays profits from the money that he has used to invest. The concept that we are God's banker actually makes sense. God entrusts his money to us and he wants us to invest it properly for him. And in that process, we profit. First point I want to make is banking is about trust. Our money is a trust from God. It doesn't matter whether you're a big bank, a small bank, the money's not yours. It's not theirs. Their job, as well as our job, is to care and protect for that money. When you're growing up, you probably saw your mother sign off a deposit slip and give all the money to the bank. And you're wondering, why is she giving all the money to the bank? The reason why is because she's trusting the bank to care, protect, and invest it for her. When people lose their trust in a bank, there is what is known as bank flights, and that's when the problem begins, because the trust has been lost. Point number one, banking is about trust. And banking also means, if it's about trust, take note, trust will always be tested. Whether you're a bank that needs to be tested or whether you're a customer borrowing money from the bank, there will be tests. Even rich people borrow money from banks. When you're signing a mortgage to buy an HDB, a condominium, or an apartment, or a house, there are five C's that banks check. They check the character. They check the character of the person, the credit standing of the person. Does he have the collateral to support this borrowing? Does he have the capacity to pay it back? When you think about lending to God, we know that God's character is impeccable. We know that his credit standing has been proven for thousands and thousands of years. We know that his collateral is not just the earth, but the entire universe. And we know he has the capacity to pay back because he's not just has all of these things in existing. They're all multiplying at breakneck speed. More importantly, the fifth C is the conditions. Bankers often will check the character, the collateral. They'll check all of these four C's, but will also want to know the prevailing conditions economically, the unexpected situations that are prevalent in the time that they find themselves in. With God, it doesn't matter what the season is or the conditions are, his debts will always be paid because he has not just control over the four C's, but the fifth C. To him, there is nothing that is impossible. Banking is about trust, and trust will always be tested, whether you're the bank or whether you're testing the customer. A test of reliability. Believe it or not, the most stringent tests in the world are bank tests. They test the largest banks and the smallest banks. The reason why is because banks can easily be corrupted. When people start thinking they own the money and they start getting greedy, they start stealing it. And that's why the same way with us. While there are banks that have to be tested, God tests ourselves. That test is called the tithe. The tithe is God's test. Tithe simply means 10%. Number 10 in the Bible is actually the number of testing. When you find in Scripture the number of times that the number 10 showed up, it was all about a test. The tithe is a test of money. But when you take note that the tithe is number 10 is the number of testing, we find that in Genesis, where 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and God tested the earth with a flood. When you find 10 years of Abraham in Canaan, and God knew that he had passed the test, and he could now forward on to the promised land. You'll find the 10 brothers of Joseph who sold him into slavery and tested the character of Joseph to prove that he's worthy to become the governor of Egypt. We find the 10 plagues of Egypt, which is the test on Pharaoh's heart to show that he was not truly the God that he claimed to be. The 10 commandments was a test on the Jewish people who left Egypt, entering the promised land to know, for God to know, will they obey him when they ascend into this prosperity. The 10 days of Daniel was a test on the standards that God had set on these young men. The 10 virgins is a test of patience and perseverance. The 10 leper and preparedness. 10 lepers was a test of gratefulness. And the 10 days of Revelation was a test of suffering. The number 10, just like the tithe, is about testing who we are. One of my favorite cities, and in thinking of illustrating this for you today, one of my favorite cities that I've been to is the city of New York. I love it because there's so much to see. And in my lifetime, I've been there 3 times. I've been through different places, but there's one place that in each trip I wanted to go to, and that's the Rockefeller Center. The Rockefeller Center is a very interesting place. First of all, it's 5 hectares big, and that's a large piece of property in the middle of New York. It was built in the 1920s. It was 70 stories high at that time. My interest is because of the man who built it. His name is John D. Rockefeller. Born in 1839, just at the time when the Civil War had started. Just for perspective about the kind of world this man lived in, a world of chaos, a world where people were in rebellion, a world of fights and wars. And he grew up at that time. 1839, he was in his 20s. He lived to about 1937. In short, he lived for 97 years. What was interesting about Rockefeller was he's known to be widely considered the richest person in modern history. In fact, his net worth was estimated at $336 billion adjusted to inflation in 1913. $336 billion. That's a lot of money. When interviewed by a magazine, here's what he said. "Yes, I tithe." A devout Christian, he said, "I would like to tell you how it came about. I had to begin work as a small boy coming from a very poor family to help support my mother. My first wages amounted to $1.50 a week. But the first week after I went to work, I took the $1.50 home to my mother. And she held the money in her lap and explained to me that she would be happy if I would give a tenth of it to the Lord, 15 cents. I did, and from that week until this day, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to me." A man who understands that money was just entrusted to him is a man who will pass the test of the tithe. Trust will always be tested. Number 2, trust is a test of reliability. It's a test of reliability of both the bank and the customer. These tests are done to prove that the bank is reliable to care for the money and the customer to prove that the borrower is worthy of the money. The test is usually two-way. One is us. The test is whether we're going to do the tithe. But the second test is interesting. The customer, God, says, "You can test me on this." Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, here's the part where we should pass the test. Bring. Not wait, not think, not consider. Bring. What? The whole tithe. Bring the whole 10% to him. And if you do that, he says, if you bring it to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, he says, test me in this. Test me, he says, the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room, not room enough for you to store it. Interesting. A lot of people will never see this God throwing open the floodgates of heaven and pouring out so much of blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. By the way, just as a caveat here, I'm not telling you that if you tithe, you're going to be as rich as Rockefeller. But what we do know is you're own opportunities will be limited because the blessing of God will not be there. The test is about a test of reliability. Why? Because it's a spiritual principle. The tithe is actually a very simple principle that if you cannot give the small, you're never going to arrive at the big. It applies to just about everything in your life. Your spiritual life is about a tithe. If you can't tithe a day or a few hours in a special day to set aside for God or read your Bible and pray, you're never going to give Him your mind, your heart, and your whole being. If you cannot be kind and gentle and loving to your relatives and your friends and to your associates, you're never going to be that person in 100% or even closer to 80%, because it always applies to everything. The tithe applies to your physical life. If you're not willing to be healthy in certain areas of the way you eat, the way you sleep, it always begins with the small, because if you can do that, you can progress to bigger things. The same thing with your finances. Our finances is about the tithe. It is a spiritual principle. You may have heard me in times past explain to you the pizza principle. The pizza principle is that you're acknowledging the pizza comes from God. And if there were 10 slices of pizza, God is simply saying, give me that one piece, not because I need it, because I want you to prove to me that you believe that this pizza came from me, that you actually believe that this pizza was from me and that I just entrusted it to you. Because if you really believe this, the greed, the dishonesty, the stealing, which is, by the way, that's what he calls it. When you don't pay the tithe, you're robbing me. You're a thief. That's what happens to bankers who don't acknowledge the money is not theirs. The second point I want to bring up is banking is about investing. God gave us all the seeds, the increase and the enlargement, not just so we can store it, but to invest it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it talks about this parable that Jesus explains to his disciples. He says, watch out, watch out. And when Jesus says that, you need to hear this. Be careful and guard against all kinds of what? Greed. Why? Because you think it's all yours. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Watch out. Don't be fooled. He told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. There it is. God providing an abundant harvest for him. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Instead of reinvesting it and giving it away, he decides that this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns that are already big and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. That's a foolish strategy. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Down in verse 21, it says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, and here's the point, but is not rich toward God. Banking is about investing on God's heartbeat, the things that move his heart. And what is his heartbeat? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he invested his one and only son. God loves the world and he invested his son. If we're wise in investing God's wealth, we need to be investing in the Great Commission, finding the church and the people of God who are genuinely seeking to get the saved into his kingdom. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Great Commission, or the desire to see people come to Christ, is something that is very close to the heart of God. When we're investing in the things of God, in his heartbeat, we need to understand that there's only 100% of money that's going around that we have. A wise investor will take 20% of that and set it aside to save it and invest it and make it grow while living on his remaining means. A truly spiritual investor will goods the supernatural investment of tithing, knowing fully well that he has all his own limitations. He doesn't just set aside the 20%, he actually set aside the first 10%, because he knows that his talent is limited. And in order to succeed, he needs to be able to invest in something that is far greater than just his money, the spiritual work of God. A few weeks ago, a friend of ours came to our house and showed me this book. She was very happy and said to me, I'm so happy, Pastor Joey, I have a gift for you. Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lapin. The book is entitled Thou Shalt Prosper, and it says the 10 commandments for making money. It was funny because as she gave me the book, I said, wait here, let me go to my room. And I went to my room and picked up my own copy of the book. And I said, this is the copy. And she said, oh, I'm so amazed that you own it. And I said to her, Rachel, actually, the book you're giving me, I've been reading that for years. And here's the color of my book already. The reason why I read this book is because chapter 9 of this book actually says, the reason why this book, by the way, chronicles why Jews are only 2% of the world's population, but they're the world's richest people on earth. They're the ones that are most successful, lawyers, producers, movie makers. They're the most successful CEOs. They're the most successful artists, musicians, because they understand chapter 9 of this book, tithe. When you understand that with your heart and not with your mind, or you're not resting against it, watch how God will prosper you. Back to John Rockefeller at 97 years old. And here's what he said. And I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. When you learn to tithe on the first thing, tell your readers, he tells the magazine, to train their children to tithe. And they will grow up to be what it is, faithful stewards of the Lord. Understanding this money is not mine. Now, to be certain, John D. Rockefeller lived in a world that was chaotic, that was dog-eat-dog, the laws were not in place, and I'm sure that he had issues with the way he did his business. But for the most part, he did it the Lord's way. When my kids were growing up, I taught them a simple lesson. When I give you money, take a jar and put the tithe. Set that aside because that's not yours, that's God's. Save the 20% and then use the rest. You know what? My kids are now all adults. And when I look at all of them, they're actually all doing well financially. They're not big businessmen, but they're neither poor nor rich, but they're doing well. When you understand how the tithe works, there's a stability that happens in your life. Because banking is about investing. The kind of spiritual banking that God wants you to operate in is to invest on God's heartbeat. Beyond that, he wants you to become a faith investor. Not just somebody who gives the tithe, but somebody who goes beyond the tithe. James chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Suppose a brother or a sister without clothes and daily food comes to you. And if one of them says to them, go in peace, keep warm. You know, he comes to you, he's got this need. And instead of giving him money, you say, go in peace and keep warm and be well fed. But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Many people don't realize that the context of the next verse, which we often hear, is about giving to the poor, the people in need. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith that is not accompanied by action is dead. And in this particular story, it talks about the reality of people asking you and you are denying them of giving them their need. A faith investor is somebody who goes beyond just giving the tithe, but lives by faith and says, God entrusted this money to me, and I'm going to invest it in the lives of people. Not giving excuses, but actually doing it. Again, back to John D. Rockefeller. In his personal life, Rockefeller was deeply religious. He was actually an abolitionist. What that simply means was he was against slavery back in those days. He encouraged others to think of giving not as a duty, but as a privilege. He considered the idea of being entrusted money and to be able to give to others a privilege. Though he was an unashamed businessman, he was a rough and tumble businessman. A lot of things have been written about him. His philanthropy in later in life proved him to be a man of generosity as well. Rockefeller's contributions to education and medicine were unrivaled in magnitude, creating a kind of philanthropy never seen before, the magazine reports. Rockefeller's philanthropic investments, he didn't see giving money away as a donation. He saw it as an investment, included the University of Chicago, to which he gave $75 million. The Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research and the General Education Board, both with which he gave $50 million. By 1927, the Rockefeller Sanitary Commission had eradicated the hookworm disease. Rockefeller established the Rockefeller Foundation and transferred $235 million into it by 1912. By the time of his death, his estate amounted to only $26 million. He had given most of his fortune away. $235 million, giving most of his fortune away. This is no longer a supernatural investor, but a faith investor, someone who lives on less so that he can give more to God. This is what the kind of banker that God wants to have. Banking is about investing, investing on God's heartbeat, becoming a faith investor who knows the rewards of a faith investor. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 tells us the rewards. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow or trouble with it. There are a lot of people who are blessed, but they're in trouble as well. The blessing of the Lord makes wealth, but there's no trouble that is attached to it. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. When you honor the Lord, invest in the Lord's projects, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Everything is going to be fresh. Everything is going to be new. The supply will not be rancid and old. It will always be fresh and new. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and so through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. My wife loves eating this food, and there's a hawker center that I buy this food literally 5 days a week. I walk from our apartment to this hawker center to buy it. And every time I buy it, the meal is about $5. I always leave $1 to the lady. It's 20% of the meal. I still have not arrived at a place where I can give 20% of my money away as an offering to God. I've been tithing for 37, 39 years now. But I've been trying to get to the place where I want to be a faith investor. But you know how I do it? I don't do it in a big way just yet. I take the $5 and I give this lady $1 every day because I'm investing. I'm investing in kindness and generosity, believing that one day God will see that and say, I can trust this guy with more. The third point, and my final point for you in this message, is banking is about standards. The question about standards is about how banks move. How much should we give? What is the LIBOR rate? In the case of God, how much do we give? The tithe and the offering. The tithe is 10%. The offering is by faith, right? In other words, generously. How do you know what is generous? Well, for starters, generous means the size. Anybody who can tell size knows what's generous. That is generous. This is not. Now, there's another side to generous, the widow's mite. She didn't have a lot, but that was generous in God's eyes because it's not about how big you give, how much of what you have, and the bigness of your heart is what matters to him. Secondly, it's not just how much you give, but where to give. And the Bible is very clear. The tithe goes to the storehouse. This is the place where you receive the word of God and the place where people are invested to making sure the next generation is reached with his gospel. When it comes to offerings, it's a giveaway. Not a giveaway, not just giving giveaway, but to give away from you. When you're saying you're being generous to your children, that's not a giveaway, right? A giveaway is to give to someone who you have no connections with. It's that lady in that shop. It's people, random people sometimes, and some people that you really know you want to invest in. And finally, not just where to give, but the attitude of giving is probably the highest, most important standard in your giving. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this, remember this, don't forget it. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's to the degree that you own, want to know how generous you are, will be the degree that you will receive generously from God. It goes on to say, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Maybe you're being forced to do this, manipulated to do this. Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Because God doesn't want you to do it reluctantly, forced to do it, or under compulsion. But God wants you to be a cheerful giver. As we close this year, I pray that your finances will be blessed. I pray that you will understand banking is about trust. Trust will always be tested. If you want to be God's private banker, if you want to see God entrust you with a lot of money, know that he will test that. A trust, a test of reliability, it's a spiritual principle that he wants you to do and operate in all the facets of your life, spiritually, relationally, physically, most especially financially. Banking is about investing, investing on God's heartbeat, becoming a faithful investor, a faith investor that says, God, what else can I give to that you want me to give to? Thirdly, the rewards of a faith investor are clear. God's going to bless you. Banking is about standards, how much to give, where to give, and the attitude of giving. As I close this message, I want you to join me in a short proclamation of Jesus, our God. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup and join me in this short word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we revere you not only as our loving but our generous investor. Thank you for investing in us. Teach us to invest wisely and generously to others as well. Give us a heart to be rich toward you and to know that it is a test of our hearts. Show us the many opportunities to sow generously into what is your heartbeat, your great commission, and those who are marginalized. May we be found as a people who honor you with our wealth you have entrusted to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.